Scalpel. Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. This is the Genoa Township Board of Zoning Appeals. It is Wednesday, June 27th, 2018, and this is our regular meeting, and I am going to call the roll. Mr. Boone.
Here.
Mr. Phillips.
Here.
Ms. Driscoll.
Here.
Ms. Yu.
Here.
And Alderman Bishop.
Here.
And I guess that completes the board, so everyone is here. All right, moving on, we have the meeting minutes from April 24, 2018. Do you want to take a moment and review those, and I will entertain a motion to approve. Any discussion, revisions, items of note? Hearing none, then we will call for the vote. Mr. Boone?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Driscoll?
Yes.
Ms. Yu?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. Motion carries. Okay, I do want to acknowledge two things before we get going here. I want to acknowledge the resignation of Sabelle Smith, who was our longest serving member on the board since I've been on here. And I absolutely appreciated her friendship, her help, her, everything she did for this board. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely acknowledge her, and I'm going to definitely miss her. And I want to acknowledge the promotion of Dave Boone from alternate to permanent member of the board, who's going to finish her term out. And I know, Dave, you've been here for a lot of the meetings and voted, and I appreciate your participation. Look forward to working with you as a full-time member.
Thanks.
So, okay, so let's go into the work session. Our real agenda here tonight is to review and revise the rules of procedure. We'll all note that these were adopted June 28, 2005, so they're 13 years old. I did a preliminary look at them the other night, and my opinion is, and I'll just kick off the discussion with my opinion and then go from there, is that there's a lot of stuff on here that's antiquated and out of date. I think we need to essentially overhaul these.
Carrie's one apart.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I think we need to start with an outline, and if you had an opportunity to read the zoning code, it refers to the Board of Zoning Appeals, and I think there's some sections in there that probably need to be carried over into the rules of procedure that might take care of some of the issues that I see. And like I said, I don't see this as being a particularly quick or simple process after I took the time to read through these, and hopefully the rest of the board has done the same. And so, I don't know, I'm kind of open to suggestion on how to attack this. But like I said, my opinion is maybe we start off with an outline and then move on from there. And then I think it would be important for somebody to attempt, and I mean attempt, to keep notes on the process. And Jeff Bishop, even though you are an alternate, I would absolutely appreciate your participation. You may not end up voting on this.
Sure.
But absolutely, appreciate your input and participation.
Sure. No problem.
So, anyway, I'm going to just put it out to the group, and what do you guys think?
Mark, I guess I'd like to direct a question to you and to Susan. I'll make a statement first. Because I do a lot of business law, I do a lot of rules and operating agreements and so forth. Typically, a board approves its own rules and regulations, procedures. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that if the government agency that has a board, possibly the board, hasn't approved board regulations in 13 years, that's pretty odd. The first thing they should do is approve these. They should be submitted to the board each year, because these rules are not binding on a successor board. So next year's board or last year's board isn't bound by these rules. Mm-hmm. So in a typical for-profit organization, I didn't do any research to determine if that's true or not in government. I'm inclined to think these aren't binding on us. So last year's weren't either. So
I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that question.
The question I would throw out to you all is, do we have the authority to change these rules of procedure?
I think we do, Mark, and I can jump in and make a couple comments about that. Number one, we did this on the Parks Board 5 or 6 years ago.
We did.
We didn't have any. We just didn't have any. We developed them. I think we formed a small subcommittee for them and took them to the board and had them approved. This obviously is a little bit different. The background that I can offer on this rules of procedure is that when I came on the board, they were given to me. These were the ones that were in place. And I can tell you this. I am substantially certain that during my time on the board as both an alternate and as a full member, they've never been revised. And they've never been revisited and re-approved year over year over year. And I'm not saying that that's a bad idea. I'm just offering that as a little bit of background and maybe a little bit of history. And I don't know, what are the other board, and I will tell you, on the Parks Board, we put the rules of procedure in place, and we have not, as far as up until I left, my term ended on the board, Parks Board, they weren't reviewed again. And I don't know, what do the other boards do, like zoning?
I don't believe that the Zoning Commission reviews theirs and adopts them every year either, though I think that would probably be a good idea, just to bring it back to the forefront and gets everybody to look at it. And if you want to make minor, you want to make changes that, something throughout the year. I did check with the prosecutor's office, and you do have the authority to make your own rules as long as you're not going against any other.
Right.
Like Ohio Revised Code or the zoning resolution,
it
you
would
can
also
make
be
your own, set of rules and procedures.
Doing them annually would also be a great introduction to anybody that's brand new to the board, too, or any alternates, because there is turnover.
Yeah.
And, I've never seen these.
Well, I have a question, too. Again, and excuse my naivety. I'm a little naive to the situation because I'm new. But, so we're somewhat... we work together with the zoning board, so correct, somewhat to a degree where if there's a problem with the zoning, then it comes here, correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
So their rules are totally separate, obviously, than ours.
Mm-hmm.
How you said? When was the last time they reviewed their?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
It might be, theirs might be.
And this is probably something we need to address in the rules of procedure is an annual review. And maybe we want to do it at the time we elect new officers and we do the review. And it's usually April. We don't normally have a whole lot of business to conduct. And maybe concurrently with all that, just have a housekeeping meeting, essentially.
Mark, I think that's a great idea. I guess... we serve at the will of the commissioners.
The trustees.
The trustees. Don't we?
To a certain
extent. They have the right to remove us, I would think.
They do.
Okay.
It's written in the zoning.
I think
the reason I know that is because it's in the zoning.
Yeah,
code.
And that's, I think, comes from Ohio Revised Code. I mean, they typically need a reason. I mean, they just can't say, Mark, we don't like what you wore yesterday, so we get rid of you. I mean, I think they should have a reason, but...
I don't think they have to. I think we serve at their will. Now, they want us here because they don't want to get involved with this stuff. But I think technically if one of the three can convince one of the others, they can get rid of us for any reason. I guess where I was going with that is we don't serve at the will of the prosecutor. They're only an advisor to us, I would guess. And I'm wondering who we answer to.
Right,
been on this 3 or 4 years.
Well, we
extension plan says
we answer to the board of trustees. Right. The prosecutor's role in this in this environment is as a review function. And really, if we were to, and I would anticipate we will, when we revise these,
right, there it is,
and we send them to the prosecutor, it's right for there advisory capacity that we're compliant with the revised code and any other code that may be out there for the township or county, state, county. And that's the really the only goal is just that compliance, is to ensure compliance.
Well, look at right section 5 of
the rule. Well, let's say we change that and say you can't remove this for any reason.
Well, it says here it's
well,
no, only be removed.
That's
right
in the Ohio
revised
code, so you
code
can't not have that.
I agree. And I think there's actually, I believe, a provision in the section of the zoning code that I think there's a section that refers to that as well. Because 301.01 refers to the term of the members. And I think they can remove this, but essentially for cause.
It's under problem too.
And it defines also the term of office.
Mm-hmm.
Right here.
Yes. It lists here.
Which, and that's why I
said,
I think it would be important that we have the provisions, number one, that are in the zoning code and in the current rules of procedure. Same.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be mirror image, and that's one of the conflicts that I noticed was that's why I started my remarks and I said, listen, I really think that maybe this, you know, and I applaud our predecessors from 2005 that did this. I'm sure it was quite an undertaking, but I don't know that it fits us today. 13 years later, I think that we're in a different place, a different environment. I noticed there's a lot of references to a secretary that we don't have. Because that's, well, it's referred to as a board member, somebody that's gonna keep notes as opposed to staff. And there's a lot of references to facsimile machines, which I haven't owned
telegraph
in a long time. Yeah, telephone, telegraph, facsimile. Yeah, and I think there was a mail grain in there someplace. I'm not sure you can do that anymore. So that's why I say, I think it's in for some significant updating, and I would agree that on an annual basis, it probably does need to be reviewed. So I think going from there, who's going to keep notes on this thing? Because I can see it getting really big really fast. Okay, not everybody at once. See if Sabelle was here, she'd be doing it all.
I will do my best to take notes, but okay. It will be, it's recorded,
well,
so we will have
yeah,
a record.
Yeah, it's recorded, and then if you can take it, because I think the basic framework is going to, we're going to need to write it down to look at it.
So you're thinking of totally going from this format and changing
there,
it?
Here's the thing that I think a little bit differently. I'm certainly not an attorney, but I've got a little bit of the education, and I think they teach you to, I think of everything as a pyramid, and so you build a foundation and you work up, and it's part of the reasoning process. And I see where Section 1, Article 1 and Article 2, there's a lot of stuff that ought to be in Article 1 that should be in 2, and 2 should be in 1, at least from my perspective. And I would start with...
Did you do the outline you're talking about?
I did not, but unfortunately my job got in the way today, or I would have. It describes... Where did I see it? It describes what the board does, and I think that's... I think right off the bat that's Article 1. Let's see.
301.04, I think it describes on what we do. It describes what we do, which I think, like I said, is Article 1. And then I think, if you want to hear me read it, I can. For the purpose of this resolution, the Board of Zoning Appeals has specific responsibilities. A, to hear and decide appeals in accordance with Section 306, where it is alleged there is an error in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by the zoning inspector. B, where the applicant has provided sufficient evidence to warrant the granting of a variance to authorize such variations from the terms of this resolution as will not be contrary to the public interest, where owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of this resolution will result in unnecessary hardship, and so that the spirit of this resolution shall be observed and substantial justice done. To grant conditional use permits, as specified in Section 302, and to determine the exact location of any district boundary in accordance with Section 503. And I think that describes what we do here.
It's a purpose.
And then I think it goes, I think from there I would go to, the members. And it talks about it in 30101, the terms of the members, or it talks about the board. The township trustee shall appoint 5 members of the township to the Board of Zoning Appeals. 2 additional citizens may be appointed to the Board of Zoning Appeals as alternates. None of the members shall concurrently serve as a member of the Zoning Commission. And I think that describes the members. And then along with that, it talks about the terms of all members, which shall be arranged that any term of one member shall expire every year. And that's through a 1.01, Susan. And so you've described what the board does, what the members look like. Is there a removal? And then I think from there you put in a removal.
Yeah, it's number 5.
And we can come back to that. And then from there we go to the organization of the meetings.
Excuse me, but shouldn't we removal and then resignations? That's how we can do it.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
And that just, if you're talking about the membership, that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, and it's a little redundant because 301.01 does talk about removal and resignations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we see that in writing, maybe it'll make a little bit.
Or maybe we can roll them together.
Right, we can work that around mm-hmm. a little bit.
So did you said purpose,
I think we want to make
then members.
Right, and I think we want to make removal and resignations a separate section. Is that correct?
But together. Any kind of.
Yeah. Right. Still under that main section. And then members is those would be subsections, removal and resignations under members. Am I as clear as not?
No, that makes sense.
Okay.
Is that where it is now?
No.
Uh-huh. I've already put 2 members on the board that has removal and resignation, subsections 5 and 6.
Okay.
He's saying a building under Article.
I guess the only real difference, Mark, is I put a lot of stuff that's in 2, maybe 1. If that makes sense. And you guys jump in here. I'm not the guy holding the handle.
Mark, I guess my question is, a lot of that seems duplicative. We already have it here.
True.
And it so, do, I mean, as I understand the rules, it's sort of just an overlay, a general overlay. And it almost seems like we're reinventing the wheel by putting it in here if it's already set for it here.
Yeah.
Now,
that's a good point. Let me.
I don't mean to argue.
No.
This is the creative process. The code is what defines what the board is, the purpose of the board. These are supposed to be the steps on how we accomplish what the code says. So I agree. I don't think we should be rewriting the code in here. We know who we are and why we're here. Not saying that maybe here can be a little introductory section.
Sure.
But we shouldn't be spending our time reviewing that.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay, and
that's absolutely fine. Show me what that looks like. Describe what that looks like. I'm trying to, like I said, I've worked off of this eight pages.
Right, and I mean, Article 2 does, some, I mean, it restates
and Article
who we are,
2
what the purpose
does.
Is. So, I mean, it's already there. You can change the order of it, you can leave it, you can put it at the end. But I think what we want to focus on are these things like how the meeting's organized, where are they held.
Okay. All right.
Those kind of procedures. And then I didn't bring my notes from last time, but I know we had some suggestions of things we could discuss in.
I think there's a lot of that in the minutes. But there is.
From the prosecutor's presentation.
Right. Because there
are. I mean, things like, do we need to reread the Duncan versus Middlefield every single time? I think it was one thing that came up. Mm-hmm. You know, consent agenda, whether we can have a consent agenda or not. And I didn't see that in here.
Right.
And you can't. I mean, the only time you have to have which I brought the Robert's Rules of Order. So the only time you have to have that roll call vote is when you're voting, I think, on the applications. And then you specifically need to know that you have a quorum out of your quorum, you have three favorable votes how that vote comes to pass, whether it's an approval vote or a denial vote. So, you know, if you go all ayes, then you don't know, or all, you don't, maybe don't know that that was 3-2 or, you know, 2-3.
Can do a consent vote on a lot, like the minutes and a lot of stuff, but for the actual applications, no.
And that's something that could be in here where we actually address when we should and should not use consent.
Sure, I'm with you.
Susan, you just mentioned Robert's Rules of Order. Is it written someplace that we're bound by Robert's Rules of Order? Often that's put in the Board Rules of Procedure, and they adopt whether they're going to follow Robert's Rules or not. Mm-hmm. So from year to year, the Board can make its own decision about whether it chooses to follow Robert's Rules of Order.
That's why you need an annual review.
Exactly.
And you've got to.
You know, and maybe you allude to some of it, whether you want to, I mean, this is a pretty good sized book. It's not my light reading, so I don't begin to profess that I know, you know, what it says, but I looked up voting, you know, so that was, because that had come up during Andrew's presentation. So I did look that part up, and you're welcome to look anything else up tonight that you'd like to.
Well, Mark, you tend to follow that. If there's something presented, then there's a motion and a second, and then discussion. And then once or twice since I've been here, I know there's been a modification of that. You always follow Robert's Rules to modify, for a motion to modify to get a second, and then a discussion and a vote on the modification, then on the underlying motion. So you tend to follow that. It probably should stay sane here. So
I would agree. Yeah. I think that's probably an important part. Along with that is, and I think we might as well talk about it sooner or later, is the, I know the trustees have adopted it, and I believe the zoning board has adopted their 3-minute rule. since I've been on the board, but
it could be.
It could become an issue. I've been in meetings on other boards mm-hmm. where it is an issue.
Sure.
And the people on the right will recall Parks Board meetings where mm-hmm. there were new rules and it was evident.
Yes, very evident.
So I think that should be added as well. I think we need to add a section that talks about record keeping and tape recordings and the and whether the written record and the tape recordings.
You're building your own.
You know, and one thing that this does not talk about, and maybe it's an underlying unwritten rule, but I think we should write it down in the rules of procedure, is potential member conflicts. If there's any hint of a conflict, the member needs to, and I agree with Andrew King, is not even on the property during the meeting.
Give me an example.
Oh, I can give you one.
Well, it was recommended, but I disagree with that, because if someone is on the board and they're the only one that can speak to something that affects their property, they should be able to. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people have multiple adults in their household, but if mm-hmm. something is affecting them right next door, and, you know, whoever the other adult is can't make it, can't speak, then...
If they recuse themselves on that vote and speak from the podium.
Right, so I think yeah. I got that right across earlier than they could.
Okay. Yes.
I agree with that.
Right. I mean, the extreme that. Is they're not at all in the room. And if they don't care, sure, they can just not show up.
Okay.
But
I can see that as merit. I can see that.
I think their recommendation has been, though, that they not be here because...
They should lose
their rights as a property owner.
It's
and as a member of the township, just because they sit on the board.
I don't disagree with you. I can see both sides
yeah,
because if you stand up there, you may be able to sway the board differently than someone else. I don't think that you should necessarily give up all your rights when you're on the board. But luckily, it doesn't come up very often. So
I actually can think of three or four instances when that has come up. Not necessarily just this board, but in other scenarios. Here's what I would suggest to the board, is I think we should put a rule in that conforms to what Teresa says and let the prosecutor say no.
What did Teresa say?
Well, basically that
accuse yourself.
They can appear, they maybe can make a statement, but they don't vote.
That was a mark.
Okay,
yeah. I said they should be able to show up.
Right, and I basically agree with that, because the way that I've, and this is why I don't necessarily, going back to the 3-minute rule, I don't necessarily agree with that rule, because, and it, at the risk of everything getting out of hand, like I know it does at zoning and the trustee meeting, but not really here, is that if we got an applicant and does his presentation, and 10 minutes later somebody on the board has a question, I don't want him to be foreclosed from being able to make a statement. Because if I don't, or somebody else doesn't ask the question, then we'll make an assumption that may or may not be accurate.
I don't think that that would apply to the applicant. I think...
Right, but if it was the next door neighbor, or if it was...
What they did was just public comment. So it wouldn't be
right.
The applicant, it would be...
Well, I think zoning, though, because I've experienced it firsthand, zoning does it, and it's under public comment, and you're right, it's not the applicant, but it's everybody that's in the white chairs out there, mm-hmm. that you get 3 minutes, and number one, you can't give your 3 minutes to somebody else.
Right.
Number two, once you've had your 3 minutes, you've had your 3 minutes, and the next guy better say something different than the first guy did. And I think that's a little restraining, and I prefer not to go down that road, but I think we should have the ability to control
if
the time. Yeah, if necessary. If you get a room of, I don't know, if we pack the room of whatever the capacity is in here, 111, I think it is.
155.
Okay.
So you want to put something in here that says you can't implement that if...
At the discretion of the chairman or the vice chairman.
Because the trustees did not ask that you...
I realize that.
Okay.
Yeah, to my knowledge, the trustees haven't asked us to do anything.
Right.
Including revise and update this.
Correct.
I have talked to a trustee once. And so, to my knowledge, I don't even know if they know what we're doing. So, yeah.
Would everyone agree with that? I would think that you could put that in your rules that says if there comes a time when you have a limited amount of time, and to be fair to all of the people, that you limit 3 minutes. And if it's written out, it's easy to implement if it's already written down.
Right. And the last thing I want is to have somebody come in here and say and throw our own rules at us to their benefit. So,
but if it's subject to the sole discretion of the chair,
right?
They're going to have a hard time saying, "Wait a minute, they had 3 minutes, and you didn't shut this person down for 4 minutes."
Yeah.
I don't think it happened very often.
It does over zoning.
What you get into is rebuttals, though.
Yes.
Where the other person comes back.
And then you get into comments that can be, they can be adjacent landowners, affected landowners, or anybody literally that wants to do the work. And I'm okay with a certain amount of that, but I think at a point you've got to
control it.
Right. It's got to control.
I've also seen it limited to the first 10 people that sign in to a particular, or whatever your number is, 10
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I would prefer not to have to do that.
I'm just saying, we put those limits in and say, again, that's subject to the discretion.
So this board, being it's unique, can use whether or not they have standing. So if your property is at 511 South Old 3C, Westerville, Ohio, and the person who wants to talk happens to be, on the southernmost corner of the township.
That'd be buried to the states.
They don't have standing. So you could, if you ever had a whole room full, you could say, okay, adjacent property owners, can speak, or anyone who received the notice, because we notify adjacent property owners and anyone across the street per Ohio Revised Code. So that would help you to start, limiting your list.
Well, I don't know, maybe we just limit it. Maybe we just implement the same rule that the other two boards have. Make it at the discretion of the board, chair, or vice chair, and move on.
Yeah, Susan, I guess my concern, since I've been here, didn't we do one via a fence or something in a backyard that all properties were adjacent, and somebody wanted to put a fence in their backyard? And if somebody two houses down was concerned, or three houses down was concerned about that, one, they didn't want to set a precedent in their neighborhood, and we'd only let the adjacent property speak, person that's further away may take exception with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But again, we can put all this stuff in and let the prosecutor throw it out. And that's another thing that we can do.
But I do think in, like, just cases that have gone through recently, they have been, like, people have appealed a decision, and they've gotten, their appeals gotten denied because they said they did not have standing, and they were only a few properties away, but they were not adjacent, so they said, you're not immediately affected because you're not an adjacent property owner. That's why, and that's why we only notify that number of people per the Ohio Revised Code. I mean, that's what it says.
I guess rather than, we don't have to limit it, but we could prioritize. We could say if there's more than 10 people to speak, you know, here's the order, you know, adjacent property owners, people who got the notice.
You would definitely want to give those people
so we could prioritize
the type
and,
to speak.
And work down
but,
from there.
Yeah, but not say we're going to, you know, cut it off at any point.
I agree.
Or not the first 10 people to sign in.
If there's more than 10 people. There's more than a certain
I want to be as inclusive as possible, but I also want to be as expedient as possible, too. I don't want it to be a long, drawn-out, protracted process where, you know, you give every resident in the township the opportunity to get up and yell at the board, because I don't think that's productive. I've been on both sides of this table with that, and nobody wins. So now, is that as clear as mud, Susan, what the board's looking
for? So what are you going to do?
Well, I think that, I don't know, Tracy, you got any suggestions, Mark, on how to...
Well, I was just thinking, we haven't even begun to look at these things yet. Is it...
Are we getting
some benefit to put together a small subcommittee that can look at it and then make a recommendation to the...
Right, so there's two things. We go over what's already here, and then we talk about what we would like to add.
Okay. And I'm willing to do that. I mean,
Subtract.
Or subtract, correct. Right. Subtracting would be going over what's already here.
Well, and maybe that falls into we create an outline, and we say we want this in there, we don't want that, and then we can work on it from there.
Yeah, I think coming in with, like, a few people having gone through it with suggestions, rather than we just show up and start without
I don't know what this process really looks like, because I'm pretty sure the last time that I did this on the Parks Board, I'm pretty sure I wrote it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what the other board's rules and procedures are.
I don't remember, but I think that's what
I didn't have time to
look at all of them. And I probably paraphrased either zoning or this one.
Well, I think we should just start in, and what do we want as our purpose? What is the point of us existing? And then, you know, if we want to go into personnel, then we go over to resignations and appointments and all that. And then if we want to, you know, where we meet, when we meet, we want to go down that way. I just think, you know, march through it. And then if we don't like it, we can...
I think that's going to take...
Do we have this in Word
document? I don't think we're going to get it done in one meeting.
We don't have to. I mean, no one said we had to. If we do the subcommittee, then, you know, perhaps the next meeting is going over the recommendations of what's already here. Then the meeting after that is going over what we would like to add, or, you know, vice versa. I think what we'd like to add might go a little faster.
I'm sure this did not get written square one from a board. It came from somewhere.
And
you know,
the other thing is
the process. So I don't know that you need to totally reinvent the wheel and start from scratch. I think it's, you know, a really good suggestion. Go through here and update it and change things that you don't like. I mean, if it happens to say something that is not maybe that important, it doesn't hurt that it's in there, as long as it's not outdated or it doesn't go against something that you want. You know, if it lists where the meetings are held, and that's, we all know that where the meetings are held, it doesn't hurt that it's there. I mean, it just kind of solidifies everything. So if you have a subcommittee, just remember you can't have more than two people.
can't tell or have two more
have than more than two of you meet at a time. Unless you're going to do it in a public meeting, because then you would have a quorum.
So you can do three, but it would have to be in a public forum.
No, she's saying.
You can have two, and you can meet in private, and you can discuss everything. But if you have three people, you have to schedule a meeting, and you have to do it in a public format.
Because it's a quorum.
And then she just gets started.
Look at doing that again. So how long would it take to do a quorum?
You know, or you all can look at it individually and come back with your paper, you know, marked up next time. But you can't email back and forth either.
Unless it's just two.
Does that include the alternate?
Yeah, well.
Some of this is pretty simple. We still meet at the same place.
This is quite the conundrum.
Spinning her wheels, and she just marched forward.
From the second sentence pretty much to the end is to me it's stuff on a page. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense. And the other thing is too is that there's a lot of places in here that talk about a secretary, and that means a board member as opposed to a staff member.
Now, there is something in here that says a secretary does not have to be a board member.
Right, but the way that it's... the example is that when you were on the Parks Board, when we were on the Parks Board, you kept the notes in the meeting minutes and did an exemplary job, by the way. And, and it was never the same after your last. But the thing is that refers to the way I read it, that refers to a board member as opposed to a staff member. Even though it says it doesn't have to be, it means it's a position on the board is what it is. Which
no such person is present, we mean any person.
Right.
Yeah. So let's just take that out.
Yes.
Can we define the secretary as whoever types up?
Well, I think we have to define, I think that comes under the heading of meeting minutes. And
okay.
Cat by there, you know, this is what they look like, this is what they are, and this is who
has
it.
You do get a zoning secretary who does,
right,
processes the applications that come in, gets them all to you. So you do have that, whether it's has that title or not, because if we don't technically have a secretary in the office, then that's some staff member does that for you. So you get that automatically through the trustees having staff members that support you.
Just kick that out.
So you could say that that will be taken care of by staff, however you want to word it.
We could also have a secretary.
We don't need.
And that's probably not necessarily a bad idea because somebody needs to write notes and somebody needs to take, you know, needs to be prepared to do your motion to, you know, go through the second verse Minifield or the, you know,
all right,
conditional use permit conditions, and somebody has to be, you know, writing those down. So you do need somebody. Now, whether it formally has to be, you know, we're going to appoint Sarah or, you know, somebody.
I have a suggestion for the board. Maybe it'll speed things up a little bit. This is on a Word document, is that correct? Okay, what I would suggest to the board, and you guys are welcome to say no, is that send me the Word document, send it to me. I will do some revisions to that document based on my notes. And then I will send it to Vice Chairman Phillips, and we'll work back and forth with it, and then we'll meet back here in a month, and then we can go from there, if that makes sense. Because I can literally see this being a long, I think we could easily sit here until midnight. I've been in this room late, but not that late.
We could easily spend 30 minutes on
I know.
Section 8.
For and that's the thing. And so, and then in the interim, what I would suggest while we do that, I would suggest that the remainder of the board make notes of what you want in and what you want out, and hopefully when we get into it, we've got a little more of a cohesive mind, because I think that we're a little bit everywhere right now.
Is it okay if, prior to the meeting, if the things that we come up with that we would like to see or add, send it to them ahead of time, so that, you know, this can be compiled?
No, I think we need
that. So they're not walking the room cold, so you've got one solid list if you get the same thing from four or five people.
Here's what I would say.
But there's no discussion that way.
Right.
No, we're just saying, here's what we'd like to see on the agenda.
Here's what I would suggest.
To talk about.
Is if you have, like, line items that you want to address.
Right.
And say, hey, this, and can you put this in, or I think this should be left out, drop me an email.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm thinking, like, consent agenda, which isn't in here. I would email you ahead of time and say, hey, I'd like us to talk about consent agenda.
Right. And so, then we should be able to address a lot of that before we walk in this room. And then we can go from there.
Well, then if you have it ahead of time, you can come up with your paragraph.
Does that make sense? Is that going to be compliant?
I'm not an expert, but I think that as long as she would send it to you.
Yes.
And didn't send it to everybody, and everybody didn't, and you know, have conversations back and forth. Then I think it's okay.
No, it's just
send it to me.
Because then there's only two of you.
Correct. I don't contemplate that if Dave Broom sends me something, he sends it to me.
You know, and it's not like you're talking about a application and you're trying to, you know, that you can't do.
Of course.
But I don't know that it would be wrong to talk to you.
Because, like I said, I can literally see us sitting here two or three more meetings until midnight, and life gets a little short at that point. So why don't we do that? If you'll send me the document, I've got a pretty good idea of what I think it should look like.
If we sent it to them already,
we can take it from there.
Or to reach anybody else, doesn't have to be.
No, right. Well, that's true. That's true. Teresa's got a lot of good ideas. Dorothy has some good ideas.
I think you have the document already. She sent it once.
Yeah.
Not
in the Word format, though. I think mine came as
a PDF. Maybe it was a PDF.
Yeah,
because I know I got it.
So if you can send it to me as a Word so I can go in and revise.
It might be PDF because I tend to send everything as a PDF.
I'm sure it
is a PDF.
And so I think we can resolve this. And I may end up sending a part to you and a part to you and a part to you. So you guys want some parts and pieces, especially if you've got areas that you want to address, but not decision on whether to opt in, obviously. The other thing is when do you, hey, when do you want to get together again? When do you want our second date on this?
Are you just going to go at your next?
Well, huh? No, I think we can meet.
No, we can just tell everybody.
Do you want to do a special meeting? Yeah, that's right.
And you only have to give 24-hour notice.
Do you want to have a special meeting, say, in...
By telegram.
Send me a fax.
Send me a telegram.
I haven't had a fax.
Western Union.
I had hair.
Here, one question too, Marcus.
Yes.
We have these headings under the articles.
Yes.
Why do we even have to have articles? Can you just break it out by...
We could do that.
Purpose?
We could do that.
Just get rid of all the articles. Write a document.
Do you guys want to come back sometime in July? Do we have any applications that you know of, Susan, for July?
I have talked to one person, and they may be submitting something.
Okay. Does it?
I would think it would be relatively short.
That was my question. Does it appear to be complex or?
Okay.
It was probably my one only time that I would say, yeah, I think you're pretty good. They'll probably.
So I mean, I'm willing to meet you if you guys want to meet.
It would be a conditional use permit. It would be a variance.
And then what's the availability? Do we have to do it in here, or can we do it in the conference room?
Yeah, you can.
Are we in the conference room or whiteboard? Or?
I can't hear you.
You can be in the conference room.
Because it might be easier if we do it back there. When is it? Do you know when it's available?
I mean, the conference room is going to be available probably to you pretty much any time.
Okay.
I mean, for that matter, you could be in the room in our office. I mean, you'll all fit in there.
So. Right.
I mean, there's...
Well, since it's a public meeting, though, because...
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
I wanted to make sure.
Because you can... Yeah, we can record back in that meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you stick to a Tuesday night, I don't know. I'd have to go... I can go run and get the calendar.
Do you mind?
Let me go get the calendar.
If we can do the 24th, but start that at 6 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
So, like I said, I do believe you could be in the other room.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Parks is like the first Wednesday, though, aren't they? Which will probably be what?
Parks Advisory Board is on the 11th.
Yeah, I know, but that would notice.
The hall, like on a Tuesday, the hall is rented on the, or being used on the 10th and the 17th.
So we need to do the room.
So you'd have to ask for the conference room?
You guys, what about a, we could do it in the conference room on the 17th?
Most likely, I'd have to check, but it probably would be
okay. What was that?
Okay. What about?
Why don't you get maybe three or four?
Susan, is that one? Is that Black Hawk one on Tuesday?
Excuse me.
Is that Black Hawk on Tuesday? Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay.
It doesn't say who, it just says it's an HOA.
I think that's us. I could change it.
Unless you all want to be there, you don't all have to.
True. Well, that's true. What about?
Send everything out as a PDF.
Oh, right.
Because like your minutes, obviously we have them as Word, but sure. When I send them to you, I send them as PDFs.
No, I think we're, I'm sure you've got them Word somewhere.
We're
going to
Adobe,
yeah.
Adobe Write.
I'm sure we're fine.
You get the full package.
But if I don't, I will take you up on that.
Scanner.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we used to have Adobe. When I worked in a real office, we used to have a scanner.
Yeah.
PDF
yeah.
Documents.
Yeah.
Adobe
Write.
Yeah. All right, July 10th, 7 o'clock, conference room in the back of the Township Administration Building. In the meantime, I will be working on this between now and then, mostly on the weekend. And so send me, if you have anything, comments, suggestions, whatever, send them to me, to my email. And do you guys have my email?
I think we've got it from the mass emails.
Okay. It's Mark Harmon, all small letters, 8088 @sbcglobal.net.
What was
I've lived here a while.
What was the number?
8088.
8088.
SBC still on
net?
No.
Global?
Global.net. It's when the only, it's the only, when the only cable provider was...
Ameritech.
Yes.
Ameritech, Americat.
That was quite the culture shock when we moved here from California.
Like, where did they go?
So, okay, I guess we will entertain a consent motion to adjourn.
I still
hear it. Yeah, well, okay. Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Then we're adjourned.
We have a plan.
Yeah. At 8:05.
Yeah, we made it.
Not even the record.
Pardon?
We got you.